Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor David Spratley of First United Methodist Church Kemp, as well as Becker United Methodist Church in the Kaufman County area. Coming to you this morning in one of our first opportunities or trials, I should say, at new online worshiping techniques that we are looking to expand. This first option or opportunity, as we are beginning to kind of feel out how it is to respond or be a part of this new world with regard to self-isolation in this coronavirus outbreak. So a couple of things, you know, this is the first attempt. Hopefully technical difficulties are worked out. I know yesterday I submitted a one and I was sideways. I think I've corrected that problem. Hopefully that's corrected. I want to open us with a word of prayer, and then I think we'll get into the scripture that we're going to look at today from Ephesians, and I have some thoughts and items that I will speak to on that, and then we'll probably close with another word of prayer, we'll go from there, and hopefully we'll start looking at ways that we can continue to expand this online worship. I see, you know, watching other churches and seeing other churches take part in this, I see that they are doing things that they can be able to do the same thing as far as watching and kind of expressing this new opportunity to gather together in a way that's not real familiar for most of us, but it will be, or hopefully become, more familiar as we can continue to expand how we worship together, as well as how we can expand how we connect with one another. So with that thought, let's open with a word of prayer. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to connect with each other through this new medium. We also just thank you for protecting us and keeping us safe. Father, we know that these are trying times, and we know that these are times that we will believe and we have hope that they will pass and that we will come through it on the other side stronger than we were when we went in, and also, Lord, that we are going to be stronger as we go forth in our faith journey with you. So, Father, we ask that you bless this time together and this opportunity to understand what Ephesians, the letter from Paul to the church at Ephesus, can mean for us in this day and age. We ask these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. So let's begin with the reading of the scripture. For this is from Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14, and I will be looking down at my notes. Apologize for that, but I'll try to keep as much eye contact and with you guys as I can. Please feel free to comment. Please feel free to share any ideas to make it better as well, and in the comments, and we'll gladly take all that into consideration and see how we can respond. So, Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Again, that's Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. And I appreciate you listening and tuning in. So the first few weeks of Lent, we discussed that Lent, like Advent, is a time of preparation. With that, we thought about what it means to look to God in this time of preparation. Next, we were listening to God at the crossroads, where we need to hear God as clearly as we can so that we are able to follow, or better follow, the path that God sets before us. Then last week, we considered how we are to focus on God throughout the journey. How focusing on God allows us as a people of faith to respond to what is going on around us in a way that cares for those around us that are in need, right? The second order of business that Christ gives us is to love our neighbor. And that's kind of going to be the theme of today's message. This week's text, though, let's start there. As it urges us as people of faith to respond to the world around us as light, or as children of light. That's from verse 8. But in this letter to the Ephesians here, this is in the body of it, we find that we are reminded of the fact that we started out in opposition to the light. We were, let me just reword verse 8 again. It says, for you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so think about that. If we were darkness, now we are here, and we are listening to what it means to be God's children and being of the light, then we have to understand that there was one point we weren't exactly following what God had for us or what God intended us to do. So that is important for us to think about. So as we go forth, though, it says here in the passage, the rest of the passage, though, it reminds us of what we need to do to kind of move from the who we were to kind of respond in a way that is more in line with what is pleasing to God, right? Away from darkness and more towards light. That we should no longer participate or behave as people who are okay with the things that go or come from darkness. And those are things that we should think about. To fully understand the problems that are facing the early believers, we can go back to verses 3 through 6 for specifics, in chapter 5 for specifics. Things like fornication, and impurity of any kind, greed, obscenity, or foolish talk, and coarse joking. The NRSV uses the words silly talk and silly and vulgar talk, excuse me. These are things that are no longer have a place in our lives, right, as children of light. These are just some examples, though, that were problematic for the early church and the not so early church, and as well as also the not so distant church, right? And possibly, if I think about it, probably for some of us today that are listening today. However, there are two things I want to consider here, I want us to consider. The first is that this is not an all-encompassing list of what is not in line or that contradicts living as a child of light. The second is that we continue our faith journey as children of light, we are no longer bound by these responses or those responses from our past. It is what is going on, to what is going on around us in the world. We can make a difference, a different choice. We can make a choice that lines up with what is pleasing to God, or at least that should be our goal. So let's take a minute to look at this idea, though, from verse 10, and find out, as it reads, and find out what pleases the Lord. If we take a little closer look, we probably want to ask some things like, how do we find out what pleases the Lord, right? Well, it takes some practice of spiritual disciplines. And what I want to say there, what I mean by that is, we are studying this book by Adam Hamilton during Lent, and it's called The Walk. And he talks about the essential practices or spiritual practices, disciplines for the practices of a faithful walk with Christ. And in that book, he talks about, the first thing he talks about week one is worship and prayer. Worship as in attending worship as a body of believers is one way that that discipline is lived out, right, or can be and should be followed. I want to interject here too, and I'm going to paraphrase, but there's this thought, though, that we get from Jesus, and he says to us, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am also there, or I am with you. And I want us to consider that today we are also, or are we not, gathering now? As I see your names pop up of who's watching and who's listening and the comments that I see that you are sending, I want us to consider that this is maybe not physical gathering, but we are here now through this electronic media being able, allowed to gather as a group of believers. And that's important for us to think about. The other part of this discipline, though, was prayer. And prayer is, according to Adam Hamilton and how we view it, it also is how we or should be equated or can be equated to worship on an individual basis. If we approach prayer with the attitude of worship, this is meaning that as individuals, we take the opportunity that when we're in prayer, we are thinking about it with an attitude of worship. So whether God or whether together in worship or separated and praying as worship, we should be listening for what God needs us to hear. And I think that's the takeaway from that particular discipline, right? From the that is just one way that we can help, that can help us discern what is pleasing to God. Another discipline from the walk that I want to mention is study, studying the scriptures of the Bible. There's a lot of acronyms for the Bible, but as we understand it, it is God's story with us, or it's our human story with God. And what that means is how we relate to God and what and how we see God in the world around us. And so the Bible gives us great insight into what is pleasing to God, right? We can, whether you're in Genesis or Revelation, all of it brings forth this opportunity for us to connect with God and understand what God is calling us to be, and figuring out that thought of what is pleasing to God. But it doesn't just stop with those, right? The Bible. I mean, we can also add things like commentaries to our worship. I mean, our study. We could also look at books about the Old Testament, the New Testament. We could look at different translations of the Bible. But we can go beyond those books too, right? Those we can go beyond those, and we can even add history, right? And understanding how the world was back in those days and those times where it might have been trying when we try to understand first century Christianity. Well, if we understand a little bit more about what was going on in the world at that time, then we understand a little bit more about the response of what the early church believed as what was pleasing to God. So let's move on and think about some other books, though, or some other areas that we could add. We could even go into science and science fiction, believe it or not, to see how God or the God story is described in those, also those other resources. All of these sources, though, when viewed through the proper lens, they can add to our understanding of what pleases the Lord. Just to expand a little bit about my statement just then about viewed through the proper lens, what I mean by that, it really relates to our intentionality. It relates to what we think about when we ask these questions before we start reading something, right? A source, we want to ask, what am I looking to find here? What can I reasonably expect to find in these other sources like history or science or even science fiction that relates to what is pleasing to God? In order to do that, we have to think about intentionality. We also have to use our reason and our experience with scriptures. We have to think about our life in Christ and what that means and how that can help us to focus the lens in which we view these sources, right? Verse 9 reads, "For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Well, these other resources, they do point to those same things, right? They do point to goodness, righteousness, and truth. They're just revealed to us in a different way. But if we focus on what it is that God would have us find in those resources, then we can see those resources for what they are and how we can add that as a piece of how we understand what pleases God. So now let's turn our attention, though, for a moment to the world around us, this current state of affairs that we find ourselves in. I want us to try to understand how we answer this call to live as children of light. Over the past several months, we've seen this coronavirus, COVID-19, go from reports in China all the way around the world that people are getting sick, right? It goes from that to reports in Europe that some of the countries there are experiencing the same outbreak, to reports in the U.S. of our first handful of cases being found in people that are returning from travel to these other areas that have been considered hot spots for the virus activity. To right now, we have full-on community spread here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and around many parts of the urban areas of the United States. Community spread is where one person gets it from another and neither have traveled anywhere. So what has that led to? Well, it's led to this. We've been asked or ordered to self-isolate for a minimum of 2 weeks, and that could be extended. You know, and that could mean that we're here in a time and we're removed physically from one another, being able to gather physically. But as I said earlier, we're gathering here in this moment as well. So how do, as an individual, how do we respond as individuals to the life, to live as a child of light if we are self-isolating? Well, that can be and is difficult for us to imagine. But we do need to consider some things if we are going to answer this at all. First, we need to consider what are the risks. What that means is we need to be asking ourselves honestly, answering ourselves as individuals, are we considered in that high risk group, right? Those over 60 with a pre-existing condition or conditions. If so, the best way to respond at this time is to remain in self-isolation. Believe it or not, reducing your exposure to others until a time when it is safer to resume normal activities is really the best response. But if that's not all that you can do, there are other things you can still do, right? You don't have to be there physically to know that a neighbor might be in need. And you can reach out to those neighbors by using what? Well, the device that I'm filming myself and streaming right now is a phone. That's what it started out with anyway. Now it's a mini computer. But you can reach out to them by calling them. You can reach out to them through social media, through, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, however it is you choose to connect with those folks that are in your life, those that live right next to you, or maybe those that live in another part of your community, but that you have a connection with. Stay connected with them. Find ways to use media to be able to be there emotionally and support them, you know, spiritually and emotionally, without necessarily being there physically. And then you can also turn their attention to the local church. You can notify us at the local church about their need as well, and we will do our best to respond. If we can't meet their need or fulfill their need, we can also reach out to other resources, though, and continue to be able, you know, in hopes that we can get a response to them and get their need filled. And the point is that none of us should feel like we're in this by ourselves, that we should understand that we have this great body of believers behind us and around us, and through this connection that we are able to share with one another the burdens of ministry, of service. We don't have to do it by ourselves. All of us have assistance from those around us. So what about if I'm not considered high risk, or at least not at this time? Well, just as I stated, consider serving those around you. First, consider, though, how you limit your exposure as well. I want us to understand that none of us, you, myself, or anybody that might hear this video or see this video later, is immune to this virus. So what does that mean? Well, we want to limit our exposure to those around us right now. And that's really out of self-preservation, but it's also out of common sense, too. We want to be able to, it's impossible for us to care for others if we are in need of care ourselves, right? So that's the first thing, right? Consider how we limit our exposure. But there are some things we can do, right? We still have to go to the grocery store. We still have to get things delivered from, you know, the grocery stores. So if you can add something to your delivery, or when you're there at the store anyway, pick something up for a neighbor that they might need, an item that they might need, then I suggest you work that into your schedule if you can. Maybe it's something that you can do through one of your food pantries. The Labor of Love Food Pantry at First Kemp is one way we have reached out to the community. We've continued to keep that open. Maybe you can help deliver packages from the food pantries in your area. Whatever it is, just try to work that into your schedule. Maybe when you or yourself are going shopping, you can get the items for your neighbor. But there's also this other aspect I want to talk about of limiting ourselves, not just with exposure, physical exposure to one another, but this is a time where we need to consider what we're taking from the store shelves, right? Like now more than ever, we should be more concerned about not whether or not we have enough, but whether our brother or our neighbor has enough. We should not be hoarding food or other resources, but we should be giving out of our abundance to help those around us. It's how we can continue to be the church for those who are in need. So instead of buying every last can of vegetables or bottled water or whatever it is that shows up on the store shelves when you're there, instead I would like for us to consider about maybe just buying enough and then sharing out of what we have purchased, out of our own supplies. Personally, instead of buying more food during these times, you know, our family has opted to start eating all the canned vegetables and things in our pantries, dry goods that we've already had stocked up. It's a way that we can allow what's out there and being provided now to go to those that are in need, who may not have a stock pantry. But I feel like, and I suspect that maybe there's some others out there that could do the same. And it's just one example. You might have other examples of things that you're doing to kind of limit your footprint right now in this time where there seems to be some sort of scarcity in mindset, at least with a lot of the folks. So as we follow our faith, as our faith directs us to respond to the God of all creation, we understand that not everyone, or let me put it this way, everyone may not share the faith that we do. We understand that there are people in our world and in our communities that are full of fear right now. They're full of fear of the uncertainty, of all the uncertainty that is being reported in the news. They're full of fear of where their next paycheck might be, when their next paycheck might be coming, where they might get their next meal. These are the people that are more vulnerable during times like these. They don't have a steady source of income or finances. They don't have access to abundance of food or other supplies. And that's where these fears start bubbling up. But I want us to think about and understand that understanding where they are and understanding what they're experiencing, it really allows us to respond to them not out of fear, but instead out of love. Love first of God, and second, love of neighbor. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I want to finish with a quick word of prayer. excuse me. As we close out today, I want us to understand that we're going to have to find ways to connect again and figure out ways to make sure we're getting updates for prayer concerns, make sure we're getting to reach out to those that are connected not only to our churches here at Kemp and Becker, but in our communities that allow us to continue to be in service to them and find ways that we can serve those folks. So I want to pray and close out with prayer, and I want us to just consider these things as we go through. That's the doorbell, if you hear that, apologize. But I want us to consider how we are answering that call to be the child of light, be a child of light in these times. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Again, thank you for all that you have provided, your light, to be the light of the world that we find as you as the source, and you as the source. Father, we just ask that you continue to watch over us, keep us safe. More importantly, though, keep those that are most vulnerable safe. Keep them served, and help us to find ways that we may continue to answer that call to serve others. Father, we lift up the names that are both spoken and unspoken on our prayer lists for both Becker and Kemp. We know the list can be quite long and lengthy at times, and Lord, we know that it may grow in these next few weeks. So, Father, as we move through this time of self-isolation, as we move through this time of find opportunities to continue to serve others, Lord, I just ask that you help us and protect us and keep us limited to the exposure of the virus that is out there. Father, we just ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Amen. That concludes our worship service for today. It was a quick message. I know, like I said, this is kind of a growing and changing, ever-changing format. We will continue to look at ways that we can figure out how we continue to make this a little more engaging and a little more fulfilling as our worship service continues to transition from that of in-person to one that also can incorporate this streaming element. So thank you for listening and thank you for being with us. And again, if you need anything, please feel free to reach out to me directly or through our church webpage, which is the kempumc.org. You can leave messages through the contact us there as well. Thanks again and be blessed. Amen.